Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Metcast, the podcast of Manchester Metropolitan University. In this episode, I'll be joined by Chloe Golding, backstroke swimmer and former sports scholar at Manchester Metropolitan, who won a place at the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games in 2018. Chloe looks back on her experience of competing at her first Commonwealth Games at the young age of 19, where she competed in the 200-metre backstroke heats. She talks about what she has learned from this experience and how she is now helping to support our athletes in her current role as Performance Lifestyle Officer at Manchester Metropolitan. Let's get started. Welcome, Chloe, and thank you for joining us. So perhaps a good starting place would be just, basically to have a bit of a chat about your experience at the Commonwealth Games in 2018, was it? So you were competing, was it the 200 metre backstroke, which is, an incredible achievement to be part of. So I wondered if, you can just tell me a bit about that. I mean, how did it feel to be selected to, represent Team England at the Games?
Yeah, so I think to be selected, I think I was always very much like, I am going to be going to this event. Like other people maybe didn't. So I definitely knew that I wanted to be on that team. So when I got selected, like I wasn't like massively surprised because I knew all the work I'd done. But I think other people probably were. But even though I wasn't surprised, it was still very like, oh my gosh, wow, like my like younger self would be like, oh my God, as if you actually got to do that kind of thing. So yeah, no, it was really exciting to be selected, especially on a team that I was 19 at the time. I just turned 19 after I'd got selected. So especially to be on a team with like people I've watched swim really since like 2012, but even like 2008, like Beijing 2008 Olympics, there were people on that team who went there. So it's like, wow, like these people are really, really like these kind of role models for me. And now I'm actually like competing alongside them. So that was, really exciting.
Yeah, I bet that must have been incredible to, be with those people you've grown up looking up to and to take part at such a young age as well. It's incredible.
Thank you. No, it was good to see like even though like they were like older and more experienced, everyone is definitely treated, like the same, and they like take you on board. So that's really, really good.
Yeah, definitely. And did you learn quite a lot from them as well?
Definitely. I think I definitely learned a lot from the whole experience. But yeah, the people there definitely learned a lot from. So one of the girls who swam 200 back with me, she's someone I looked up to from such a young age. She's been on the scene like a long time. Her name is Lizzie Simmons. And I'd always been like, oh my gosh, wow. And then I got to go in like the same training group as her. So just like watching her train and seeing what she does and just picking little bits up. And then of course, you're not only like training with them, but you're staying with them as like with the team. So like lifestyle things that you see. So just kind of picking things up from there really as well, which is really good.
How was it going out there as well? Like she would have been out there for quite a while, wouldn't you, in terms of like the training and, building up to the games. How did you find that?
Yeah, I think we were out there like 4 or 5 weeks. I'd never like flown that far before. So I was slightly nervous about like getting to terms with like the jet lag, but we had plenty of time to, adjust. But yeah, no, it was, so we had like two weeks, maybe like 10 days at like a holding camp in Brisbane where we just trained and then moved over to the Gold Coast, like went into the village with all the other athletes. We were with a few other athletes in Brisbane as well, like basketball and weightlifting. But then like to go into the village was just like crazy. It's like, oh my gosh, it's so big, so much going on, so much food. So yeah, that was like really, really fun. And then obviously like the time period when it was the game was all very serious. But after, it was just nice to have a little bit of chill time in Australia. So I'm not going to lie. I definitely like to go back though, because I didn't get loads of time to explore. But no, like the whole thing was, it was a good time, a good like 5 weeks. So yeah, enjoyed it.
And what was the atmosphere like in the village then?
I think even though it was, a big event, it was still like really fun. So even when like we were competing, I think swimming's over like 7 or 8 days. So different people are competing on different days, but there's always, like a fun element to it. Like anyone maybe who's not competing, like trying to go for like a walk, like go to the food hall. That was just like ridiculous. I'd never seen anything so big with like barbecues going on, activities. Like there was like a therapy dogs petting and things like that, smoothie bars. So it's always like a big buzz, not only because people are competing at this really high level, but just because everyone's coming together and having like a nice time as well. So that's really good.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And I was just thinking, you mentioned about kind of obviously like going over to Australia and like the jet lag and the impacts of that. And I guess there'd be like the time difference and everything. Like how was it kind of adjusting to all of that?
I found it quite hard to start with because I remember we were instructed like, don't nap in the day until you sleep properly at night. So like I love napping in the day. Like when I'm, if I've got like a double day training, I've got like two sessions, I always have a little sleep, only like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, but it just kind of like boosts you, I think. So yeah, that I found that a struggle, like not napping in the day. I remember one time I was just reading a book and I just completely fell asleep at like 2 p.m. because I hadn't like slept the night before. So it was surprisingly like more difficult than I thought, even though I'd like been told like, you know, it is really hard, like it was definitely harder than I thought it would be. So we just did like group things, like, you know, just get out and go for a walk if you're not training, like go and rather than just staying like in your room and I don't know, like doing some work or reading or doing whatever you do to pass the time, like go outside and do it so it's like a bit brighter and get like the sunlight in. So there were ways to combat it, but it was definitely still really hard.
Yeah, I bet. And then just thinking about, so in terms of you competing and taking part in the race, how was that for you? And, you know, what did you learn from that experience?
So in my race, I came third in my heat and I came ninth overall. So top eight made the final. So my first reaction was like, oh my gosh, I've come all the way to Australia, haven't even made the final. Like, that is ridiculous. I can't believe I've done this. I've completely bowled it. It was traumatic. But afterwards, I was like, okay, you know what? It's done now. I can't really do anything else with it. But I kind of sat down like with my coach afterwards, after I'd like got back from Australia, because he wasn't there with me, and just kind of went over the race, like anything technically, and spoke about how I felt on the day. But how I felt on the day was, I'd never felt anything like it. I was so nervous. And although I'd been to international meets before, competing against the people who I was competing against there, I think like the whole atmosphere of, there were over 10,000 people in the crowd and that sort of thing. I've never felt like it before. I've not felt like it since. I can't even describe. I just kind of went numb. And so that was kind of, we're thinking that that was the reason that it wasn't, you know, it didn't quite go my way that day. Maybe being a bit more prepared would have helped. But then going forward, like since then, when I've been to like bigger international meets, like I learned from that experience and I managed to, you know, keep it together a bit more and actually end up swimming quite well. So all good.
Yeah. Do you have any advice that you would give to like current athletes that are, you know, preparing themselves for going to the games, perhaps for the first time like you were? Is there any advice that you would give?
So I would think, with it being like a home games this time as well, it's, you know, probably on another level. But I think like advice wise, I'd say you can prepare as much as you can, but be prepared for like anything to come at you, like from, even, you know, you can think you're like the most prepared athlete, but there will be like curveballs. You can't emulate that experience in an everyday life situation, so there will be curveballs. And so just having that ability to like adapt, and you can practice the ability to adapt in training every day. You can do it on a smaller scale, so maybe, I don't know, for example, like a swimming one could be like, oh, you think you're doing one sort of session, you get told in the morning, and then it turns out actually you're doing like a race or like a stand-up in training or a race pace session. So you can try and like emulate adapting on smaller levels, but like it will be quite difficult to, you know, emulate that massive like crowd and the environment. So just be prepared for the unexpected, really.
Yeah. And then I just wanted to ask about, so you studied, was it sports science and physiology?
Yeah, I did that here.
And I just wondered if you could tell me kind of how the university has helped to support you, you know, with your sport and like through the course, like how did that help you?
So with like my sport and everything, I was a member of like City of Manchester Aquatic Swim Team, which is like a swimming and performance centre joined with MMU. So with that, they give access to things like nutrition support and also help with the cost of like monthly fees for training at COMAS. I was also fortunate to be on a sports scholarship as well. So I was, you know, had reduced fees, was able to have like financial support with some competitions. had like S&C available, physio, lifestyle support, etc. And yeah, they were, as I said, they were able to support me to go to some competitions. So I went to, in 2019, went to the World University Games, so representing Great Britain, but also Man Met, because that's my university, and did a good job there. So they were able to help me to get there with my course. I was very fortunate that if there was anything that I needed to be flexible with, I could do that as well. And I think, I know a lot of sports are, in, you know, the same, but I can only speak from like a swimming perspective, is that, you know, we do a lot of hours, we get up very early, we do like a hell of a lot of training. So trying to balance it, like, yeah, you know, if you can, that's great. And I did a good job, like a good job of balancing it for a lot of the time. There are a couple of occasions where I maybe needed like a little bit of extra support from a tutor for having to like miss a session because I was on a camp or something. Or again, like, I was able to receive like one extension of just a week on a deadline because I'd been away at competition. So that was very helpful with getting my degree. And overall, like, just made the experience like a lot easier and therefore a lot like more comfortable and doable for me. So I could do both things side by side rather than one taking over, like one would take over at some point. So when I was doing my dissertation, you know, I was really focused on that. But then at other points, like swimming would be a lot more in the, you know, in the center of things, and I'd be focused on that. So when I went to Commonwealth Games at the end of the cycle, when we had like a national meet, or then when I was going to like World University Games as well. So at different times, they both take precedent, but, you know, it can just help to, you know, balance it out a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. So at the minute, you are currently working at Manchester Metropolitan. Mm-hmm. So I just wondered if you could tell me a bit about kind of how you're helping to support, you know, our current athletes who are perhaps competing at the Games or taking part in, you know, different events. Like, how are you involved?
So my role is performance lifestyle officer. So within that, I help with the lifestyle support for our scholarship athletes and also performance athletes, as well as doing some recruitment of athletes into the university and just general work on the scholarship program, delivering workshops, organising all of that, etc. So I've got this summer athletes going to European Championships, World Cups, European Cups, Commonwealth Championships for fencing. So we've got that quite a lot going on. So my role is just to kind of help, like, as I said, when I was like at university, help that balance between like what they're studying and then their sport as well. Luckily, like, now things have quietened down a bit as we get into the summer, so that's really good. But in terms of just like in the run-up to this, like making sure that they were able to train as well as like study or go on placement and sort out anything that needed to happen there, just to make their run into the Games, whichever they're going to, like a little bit smoother basically. And if they were in any sort of, you know, if they were in any trouble with it or feeling a bit worried, just kind of go over that with them. It's good because, you know, I've been through it myself, but also like do it now as like a service for them. So I'm trained in it as well as going through it. So that's good. There's like two different perspectives on it.
Yeah, I bet that is quite nice having kind of, you know, as you say, been through it yourself, and then you can offer that advice for them, having, you know, been through what they're going to go through. And yeah, I bet that's quite nice to kind of give that back.
Definitely. No, I really enjoy it, and I like seeing if, you know, athletes come in or they drop me an email and they're like, oh yeah, I've been selected for this, and they're like, oh, I might need your help with this. And I'm like, okay, that's like, I'm happy for that. It just makes me feel really happy that I can like contribute a little thing to hopefully like their success within university and sport.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Metcast, the podcast of Manchester Metropolitan University. Your feedback is always welcome, as are much needed review ratings on iTunes. So if you have a moment, please head there to let us know what you think. You can subscribe to the podcast on your preferred podcast platform. That's all for now. Until next time, goodbye.